Welcome, everyone. We're ready to rock and roll. My name's Simon Terry, and it's a pleasure to be joining you today with this fabulous cast of Yammer Talent. What we have for you today is a highly interactive session. We really want to explore your questions, your challenges with Yammer, and use the combined expertise that's here on the stage to answer some of your questions. And that's why we're running a little late to start, because we wanted to make sure all of that expertise was available to you. So what I'd like you to do is think about what those questions are. Think about some things. We've got microphones in the center. We're going to start today running through a few questions of the panel just to introduce them, to give you a sense of some of their experience developing Yammer networks and realizing value in those networks and really driving their organizations forward in terms of collaboration. So we're going to start off with that, and then we'll throw it open for some questions, and there'll be plenty of times for questions in this session. And as has been identified already, there's lots of value in terms of swag for questions. So we want to keep you engaged as we go. Just to do the introductions, we thought we'd do the introductions a little differently. My name's Simon Terry. I'm the facilitator today. I'm also a Microsoft MVP for Office Services and Servers. And I've been working with Yammer since 2009, both as a customer and over the last 3 years as a partner, helping organizations advance their implementation of Yammer through change agents worldwide. Our next MVP is Becky Benishek.
Hello. Well, I'm Becky Benishek.
Just go.
Okay. I work at CPI, Crisis Prevention Institute. We have an organization of about 335 employees, but we serve over 26,000 customers. So I'll be talking today about the external network that I've built for them.
And Kevin?
I'm Kevin Crossman. I'm from Juniper Networks. I'm the service owner for Yammer, SharePoint, Delve, all those tools in Office 365. We've been running our Yammer network for about 2.5 years, and I'm pleased to be here.
Hi, I'm Amy Dolzine. I am from EY. I help build adoption and engagement in our Yammer network. And I'm also seeing some former Lubrizol friends here, because I started the Yammer network at Lubrizol in 2013 and left over to EY about a year and a half ago. And I'm happy to be here and answer any questions along that journey of what we've been doing.
Great. Hi, I am Lonnie French from the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America. I've been there for about 2 years, helping to launch Yammer through our Office 365 deployment. Formerly a customer of Yammer at Pitney Bowes, where we were there helping to see Yammer in infancy, and really excited to share our best practices from launch from both scenarios.
We've got one of our colleagues who's hoping to join this session, which is Simon Denton from Mott MacDonald. He's done some great talks over the week this week, so please check out those. He's unfortunately not able to join us today because he's in a panel that's ended up conflicting with this as well. So what we're going to do now is sort of move into the question section. And to keep you engaged, and we have swag for this, we've introduced panel bingo. So what we would like you to do is keep track of these important Yammer keywords as we go along. And you know the rules of bingo. If you get a row or a column, we just like that shout of bingo. And we will reward you with swag. But now to hand over to our panel, what I'd like to do is start off with a question. And the question is, let's go back to when you began your Yammer journey. Where did Yammer come from, and in your organization or your experience, and why did you get behind that opportunity? Perhaps if you could kick us off, Amy, in terms of your first experience at Lubrizol.
Well, my first experience with Yammer at Lubrizol was one of those, so-and-so invited you to join Yammer, you have no idea what it is. You contact your IT department, they're like, oh, shoot, that's supposed to be a pilot. Sorry, you're not supposed to be there. So that was our first iteration of Yammer at Lubrizol. We ended up closing down that initial network eliminating all the users down to from, you know, thousands to 20, and then rebuilt it from scratch because that experience of that initial everybody joining virally never really works very well. You really do need community management in order to make that happen. So that's what happened to me at Lubrizol. Prior to joining the IT department to help launch Yammer, I was in marketing communications for one of our divisions, and I'd always wanted to push the button and push the envelope on technology, and I was very interested in external social. I went to our external social folks and said I'd really like to help do that, and they're like, yeah, no, we don't really want to do that, but could you help launch the internal social network instead? And that's how I ended up launching the network at Lubrizol. At EY, there were a lot of people involved in a very, very deliberate strategy to launch Yammer. It was very well orchestrated. It was very well communicated. There was a lot of thought that went into making it what it is today, 140,000 accounts, you know, a lot of active engagement. There's, you know, there was a lot more behind what happened at EY than what happened to me at first. But my journey is probably like many of you.
Go for it.
Great. So similar to Amy's experience, when I first started working with Yammer back in 2009-ish, 10-ish as well, it was the thing that someone brought into the organization by accident. And it started with a few IT people, as it usually does, having conversations together. And it was really a grassroots initiative and did not have the support at the executive level or with employees when it first came in. So it came into my house as part of internal communication, saying, hey, this is a tool that maybe we can drive engagement with or figure it out. And it grew and grew and did get some top-level support, but we didn't build it the right way there because it came in the wrong way into the organization. So having learned everything I did from that experience, moved into Guardian, where they launched 365 the right way from the beginning, and we built use cases, we did our research, we got our executive support, we built it into the environment, and 2 years later, we're seeing some real success with it being embedded into our day-to-day work.
With us, well, I came to CPI in 2011 to be their external social media manager, and also I was handed a community that was built off of our Kent ecosystem. It was almost already ready. They said, here. And it was for our customers, and everybody was opted in without knowing it. So you can imagine how the engagement was. It was pretty much zero, because they didn't even know they were in it. And then around 2014, as I was limping along with the community and trying to make that work, one of the executives came to me and said that he wanted to have a place where his team could collaborate and exchange ideas, because we have trainers that are on the road, I think 36 weeks out of the year. And he didn't want to use email, he didn't want to use Facebook. And then another executive said, hey, I turned on Yammer in 2011, I just never did anything with it. So I said, well, hey, since this is technically my job, I'm going to look into this. And that's where we started with basic Yammer and then quickly realized we needed the enterprise version so we could have more control. And then from that, as we got through our launch, we did a very soft launch at first with kind of a, hey, everybody get in, fill out your profile before the official launch with snacks and games and things. And that worked because they wanted to see what all the excitement was about. That's been running really well. Everyone in the company has been on it. I still monitor, still do engagement, but it's pretty much where I want it to be. But in tandem with that, I saw that there was a thing that you could toggle to that says create external network, so I clicked that. I thought, I could build this for these customers, get them out of this limping along less than 1% engagement platform and get them in here. And that's been working extremely well.
So the story for me at Juniper is actually a little bit different from this. We, as a company, made a strategic investment in Office 365 in 2012, mostly driven by email workloads. And by 2013, we were starting to look at the social collaboration side of Office 365, and we were retiring Jive as part of that to save money and go to a common platform. And so we were really looking at Yammer and Newsfeed at that time. And one of the key reasons we chose Yammer was the cross-platform mobile experience was much better. and a really important aspect of how people would engage with Yammer. At the same time, there was, at the time, our chief executive officer really wanted an internal Facebook, and so this was great timing, so that was when we launched in early 2014. So we launched Yammer alongside SharePoint Online and started a transition where we launched those products and then migrated some of these other tools like Jive and Documentum into Office 365.
So you've all started in different ways, and many people, when they're starting out, it can be hard to define what success looks like for a Yammer network. Lonnie, for you, what does your organization define as success, and how are you seeing that being realized in Yammer?
Sure. So one of the reasons we brought in Yammer as well, other than it's part of the suite, is that we really wanted to connect a disconnected workforce as well. So we have employees throughout the country and some other countries, and we really saw the first benefits around Hurricane Sandy in the U.S. A couple years ago, 2013. So our offices are in Lower Manhattan, and they were completely swamped, literally, for a couple months. So people had to work from other places, and Yammer and collaboration tools really helped that people connect while they couldn't be in a physical office. So success of for us was really connecting people to expertise that they needed that they didn't even know about, and also getting engagement support from the executives was really important so they could see that it needs to be built into our daily work through Q&A, town hall, sharing information to everybody in the organization at all levels.
So for EY, we have some very detailed and specific use cases that we launched Yammer with. We have 8 of them that we, and we also have a very robust group management process where we have 80 what we call endorsed groups that are the official groups for the firm. We have thousands of other tactical groups, right? But we support at our level with a scorecard of their activity and their success, 80 of those groups. And each one of them gets a scorecard every quarter. And we define the success that they have. Each one of the threads in their group, in those endorsed groups, can be tagged with Yammer win, and where they're tagged with Yammer win, where there was a win that, you know, it's not, you don't just tag every post, but the ones that where you see a real business value coming out of it, they get tagged and we put them into this beast of a spreadsheet that my colleague, Shauna Jackson, the master of community management, manages. And it, you know, kind of tracks the use cases. You measure the Yammer wins against those 8 use cases and see which ones that group is achieving that quarter, and you kind of see that over time. So our use cases are things around user, personal branding. That's you know, that's a nice one. But some of them are around expertise location, information location, those kinds of things. We're trying to track how people are using the platform to build business value. So that's how we measure success.
Yeah, Juniper is an interesting difference from you because we really don't have that sort of strategic vision, and it's really not supposed to be, and it hasn't been a transformative way of working. But I think we sort of got on the message that Microsoft's been saying that there's not just one choice, right? And so for some of our workers who prefer this sort of social-oriented working out loud way of communicating and collaborating, they have Yammer, and they also have a bunch of other tools. And we, better or for worse, do not sort of force people into the little boxes. But at least from a financial standpoint, we're in the same contract space. We're not paying for 18 different tools that work completely differently. Yammer is much nicer now that it's much more aligned with the Office 365 suite.
It's the same with us. We don't ever want to force people to use Yammer. That's not how our company culture is. We want them to use it when they have a use for it. It's going to be there. They can forget about it for months if they want, and then they pop on and they see all this stuff, they get re-energized. We're very hands-on, person-centered kind of company. We are global, even though we're so small. But we have town hall meetings every week. Whoever's in the office comes, and we all stand in a giant circle, because we are growing. We're supposed to double our size soon. But we stand in a big circle, and everybody goes around the room and shares news. But there's someone who always was taking notes. And then they put it on our old intranet, and then have to provide a link for people to find it. And instead I said, why don't you put them on Yammer? And she did, and so people go there now, and you can see if they like it. I can track views and all these things. And so, because not everyone's always in the office, and it works out for us. And on the external network side, I do a lot more deep dive into measuring, which I'm sure we're going to get into later. Mm-hmm. But my measure of success there is definitely seeing the conversations, because our customers are even busier than we are. And the fact that they have the time and inclination to go online when they're so busy offline really shows me that it's a success.
So many people, when they're starting out with Yammer, find there's so much to learn and so much to do. Where did you get your head start from?
Okay, so for me, at Lubrizol, I got my head start from SharePoint 2014 conference. Melanie Hohertz, who cannot be here this week, presented the most amazing presentation about Yammer and community management that you will ever see. It is 2.5 years old. It is at an absolute gold mine of truth. Please go watch it. That changed the trajectory of my career, honestly. Watching that presentation and learning from that and building a network at Lubrizol using her tips and tricks was a gold mine. So but for EY, they had a much, they started their process long before I got there, and they attended the same presentation as well, but they already had an idea of what they wanted to do. EY has been building community for a long time. Knowledge communities have been a big part of EY for years, in SharePoint before they got to, before we combined SharePoint and Yammer. So EY is just much, they were ready to go with this more than most organizations.
And our audience, we have a very, I want to learn about all the specific features, and so focusing on features, especially as we transition from an existing tool into this new world, and showing that there was an equivalent feature set that they were looking for was really important for our rollout. And yes, mm-hmm. Melanie's talk from 2014.
Yes. Same here, yes.
Best ever.
I think the timing worked out for us, because it was 2014 when that executive came to me and said, let's use Yammer. And then the SharePoint conference was coming up. And that's where I took, at the time you could get a power user certification. Mm-hmm. So, which is really cool to have on your cube wall. And so then I came back all full of all this knowledge to then really get into it and set it up.
Yeah, I think the certifications that Yammer had originally really helped you dip your toe in the water and get a full understanding of the capabilities. And the customer success manager program that Yammer had was really a lifesaver for me when we first got started. Having that team just as to have your back and all the resources, it was really great to have that. Now you can go to fasttrack.microsoft.com and get resources there too. But having all of that, those templates and the guides, and having the experience that someone's had done it before was really helpful.
One thing I wanted to add about what went well at EY, they engaged their risk and security, IT security management from the very beginning, knowing that there might be some concerns and some hurdles to overcome. Instead of trying to launch it and then go in the back way or have it out there before you've talked to risk and IT security, they did that from the very beginning. So they were partners in the process, and they felt like the Yammer communities were not trying to hide anything. We're not trying to do anything that is beyond the pale. They were doing what was required, and that has helped us tremendously as we've grown the platform.
Yeah, I mean, I'd strongly recommend that. I think that's a great recommendation for anyone. In fact, go and ask your risk and compliance and legal and IT security people what they'd like to see out of the network. You can actually help them achieve things by engaging employees in different conversations. They're often stakeholders who feel a bit isolated from the rest of the organization, and being able to involve them can really actually deliver some real benefit to your organization in the way it manages risks, and it will change their perception entirely of what you're trying to achieve as a network. So one of the things about Yammer is that not everything happens as you expect. Users are creative, businesses change. What's something that surprised you in your journey with Yammer?
I have one. Okay. So when I first, 2 months after I started at EY, I happened to be watching
this feed happened in front of me. It's on a Friday one day. One of our practices had decided to have this big thing called Super Friday, and they, across the Americas, in there were 7,000 practitioners in 60 locations, were all having the same meeting at the same time, and they were sharing things via, you know, Skype and talking and broadcasting, but then they were also having these individual meetings where they were putting together business cases, and the business cases were then video recorded, and they were posting them in their Yammer group with a hashtag. It was like, and I had no idea this was going to happen, but it was like happening in front of me and seeing what an amazing experience that could be for people to connect people across three different countries, 7,000 people in 70 locations, all within one day, and then they all voted on the videos. So, whatever video got the most likes won the contest, and you know, it was just awesome to see.
Yeah, I mean, I can share one while other people are thinking. So my experience was working with a large Australian bank in the global financial crisis. So in 2008, they debt markets which funded the bank were changing very volatile fashion because of the crisis and its impact on investors. The bank needed to communicate to 40,000 employees the changing funding costs, because guess what? It was changing the costs of customers' mortgages. And so frontline tellers would need to have a conversation about debt capital markets, which is as remote from the branch as you can imagine. In our organisation, the head of debt capital markets came on to actually start putting a daily post into the Yammer network to explain what was happening in debt capital markets. If anyone's had any interaction with investment banking language, it's highly jargon, it's quite specific, and it's quite technical. So the early updates were comprehensive, but actually sometimes they're a little hard to follow if you weren't deeply into debt capital markets. And one of our tellers, about 5,000 miles from the head office in one of the branches in northern Queensland, started to respond to each of those posts, asking the head of debt capital markets to clarify terms, mm-hmm. to explain particular concepts, you know, the yield curve. What's that? How do I learn more about this? Why is this? And over the process of these interactions between a teller in a branch and a managing director level person in the debt capital markets team, his posts evolved to become much more comprehensible to the whole organisation and much more effective. And the kicker to the story is after we went through this journey, 6 months later, the teller came into our network, was a passionate champion, and she said, I've been working in this branch while I finished my university degree. The bank doesn't have any opportunities here in this regional market, so I'm actually going to join another bank as a graduate program. And the first response to that post was from the head of debt capital markets saying, call me. And the response was, the day later, that teller had a management position role in his team, engaged in liaison with the branches and helping them to understand the products and purposes of the organisation. So not only did we create a connection that helped everyone in the organisation, someone got a fabulous career opportunity that they hadn't expected, and our organisation kept a real talent. And that's the kind of thing that can really surprise people in the way these networks start to work when people collaborate across silos and distance. Anyone else want to share?
Go ahead.
So we created a power user network in our community as well, where we trained Yambassadors to become the extension of myself as a community manager within the business area. So what really gets me excited is to see them go into the community and answer questions and tag. We have a similar tag, Yammer Works, when we see a successful conversation connected to value. And so after these power users were trained, people are asking questions or sharing ideas, but it's really exciting when you see them go in there and answer questions on their own without getting prompt or at mentioned by anyone on my team. So that, to me, shows that it's really working, where people want to share their expertise, they want to answer questions, they want to connect people in different ways. So anytime I see that happening without any prompting, really gets me excited.
Yeah. Same here. Even though we're a small company, I still knew I need help because I'm the only one doing what I do. And it's all volunteer-based. I train them up to the level because I have major God powers, and then they have other things that they can do. And some of them have voluntarily come over to the external network side with me and helped me moderate that channel too. So that's cool because I wouldn't have asked it of them. Everyone's busy. I'm the only one who does Yammer as my actual job, in addition with external social media. For everyone else, it's now part of their work stream, which is also really cool. It went from being, what do I need this IT thing for, to did you put that on Yammer? Or you should put that on Yammer. It's like, oh, it's music to my ears to hear that, because I don't have to say it anymore. It's yes. Part of the culture.
So I guess my surprise is not so positive, but... Nope. You'd be surprised how much people maybe not understand what social media is. Even a couple of years ago, and people in my kind of demographic were not so old, so to speak. They just didn't get it, and they thought it was like email, but no, is it like instant message? No, it's different. And so anyway, for those of us who are more professionals and IT professionals, you may have to find ways to make analogies and help them understand and all that sort of thing.
So, yeah, please, let's go to a question.
We can hear you.
So the recording can hear. A day in the life of you as a community manager. Specifically, when the networks grow really large, what systematic processes do you have in place that enable you to find the gems that you can then tell people about? How are you finding these conversations? And then specifically, what other things are you doing on a regular occurrence on a day-to-day basis to help form this new culture or different way of work for many people?
Well, I can answer about how to find the gems. As you grow, you could still use your eyeballs, but you shouldn't trust your eyeballs to catch every conversation because then there's tons of groups and you might miss something. So I use TiGraph Analytics. I was able to justify using this vendor because...
Bingo!
Sweet!
Somebody got it.
Where are we?
Nice.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, I understand. That's a really cool thing you're getting there. So I use it because I can track unanswered threads. So if there is something out there that I've missed or my community members have missed, then we can go right to it with a link and see if it actually justifies an answer. Because some things only need likes.
Does that apply even to private groups?
So the question was, would it apply also to private groups?
Private groups, as you have network admin power, yeah, you can see private group power. So there's actually also a special toggle. You don't default into seeing them. You have to change your content mode, and there's a huge red bar that comes up that says you really should turn this off. Only see things if you really have a legal right to see them. It's like, okay. So,
Some of the day-to-day things that we do, a lot of my time is spent on education and training as well. So we have a lot of resources that we developed when we first launched, short videos, how-to guides, PowerPoints, quick reference guides. So a lot of those resources are in the network, and I spend a lot of time directing people to them. We also use TiGraph Analytics as well. So looking at that helps to determine where the hotspots are in the community, in the network, and also highlights groups that may not be as active, that may need some more support, or maybe they need to be archived or asked a question like, why isn't this as active? And then I also spend a lot of time of engaging other departments in how to get it into their day-to-day work. So what are the pain points that you're experiencing with communication, or how can a tool like Yammer help you get your work done a little better, connect people, connect to ideas? And Simon has a great theory of the whole working out loud theory. Yeah. As well, so starting with an idea, getting feedback, asking for more feedback, drafting, and sharing it out there is a great way to get started too.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I have to do as a day-to-day, because I manage all these workloads is to try to present which tool is best, or if they have a problem, which tool is best aligned to solve this. And we developed some end-user focused material so that we put the major workloads for Office 365 and did sort of a consumer reports chart about, for this use case, this is the better tool, and with some description that say, well, you could use this, and here's maybe the strength, and this one is maybe a little bit better for this reason. So that's kind of what we did.
Can we take a question from the girl? Yep.
Sorry, as someone new to Yammer, how did you get your executives to give you budget for onboarding employees and driving adoption of Yammer? And by the way, wow. That question was bingo.
So senior executive engagement, yep.
It's more around budget, because it's hard to, it's easy to maybe start your network, obviously, just type your email, but it's more around how did you get budget to continuously drive adoption?
Well, one thing to remember about executives is that they're people too. And if you look at them like, you know, you guys, they have use cases, they have that you could apply it, they have pain points. You just need to kind of give reasons why they should support this. And that's kind of how I went, but our CEO is really cool, and he's like, yeah, whatever you want. So I kind of might have had it easier to go for it, but he went behind me 100% and said, and sent out a letter to everyone in the company and saying, hey, this is the direction CPI is going in now. So that worked for me.
So for EY, right now it's like kind of an amazing experience. Miguel was the first person I ever reached out to on Twitter about Yammer. So thank you. Where are you? Steve Wen is here in the office, and he was like one of the first people I talked to at Yammer, Microsoft, and like my Libersoft friends are here, and EY people are here. It's amazing. Anyway, the way that we built at EY, there's a massive launch campaign, huge budget to, like, not huge, but there's a budget to make the initial launch happen. Now what we do is we build Yammer into our business processes, so or into our major deployments of other knowledge tools. Yammer for us is really managed as a knowledge management tool, and it enables knowledge communities to connect and thrive, and so we're building it into our knowledge platform tools that we're rolling out now. Chase, my colleague from EY, is here, is rolling out this massive, you know, Discover Search and Discover, like all these amazing tools that we're building Yammer into, and that helps us get the adoption budget to, you know, because we're not necessarily just promoting Yammer, we're promoting the other knowledge tools and building it into those tools to make it successful.
And if I can add. You know, senior executives anywhere in an organization are focused on getting the job done, realizing their performance targets, and creating value. Mm-hmm. Talk to them in those terms. Show them how Yammer can change the way their businesses perform, and you've got their attention. Talk to them about technology, and, you know, to be honest, you can sound like a cost center, and you can lose their attention pretty quickly. So we'll go to the next question, because we've got someone waiting.
Social normally grows very, very organically, but I think all of you mentioned that you had challenges up front. You were very distinct and very organized in how you rolled the tool out. Can you talk about, maybe give some examples of where the challenges that you experienced early on, and what is the difference between an unorganized versus an organized rollout?
Hmm. Cat videos.
Yeah.
So I think for us the challenge was, I don't want to use this tool, I'd rather use email. And yeah. We didn't kill our distribution lists. And so if there's a discussion, distribution list that's been working for 10 years and people don't want to change, they're not going to change. It certainly did work for other communities that did want to not use email. And then I think in terms of an organized rollout is just leveraging your channels within your company. In our case, we have a comms team. They have an intranet. We did rollout sessions and all that sort of thing. But how you do rollouts of your company mm-hmm. will differ, and you have to figure out, is this rollout, you know, if you've seen previous rollouts, what kind of scale is it in relative importance to the company? Because there's always other departments that are trying to do rollouts that are competing for the eyeballs of your employees.
If you don't tie your Yammer rollout to business value, it can
become a mess of stuff that people don't find valuable. So you really have to think about the strategic ways you're going to include it in the way the business process works and how you're going to improve business process by using this tool. Social and work are fun and work are not necessarily mutually exclusive, but if someone grabs a hold of your Yammer network and as it's rolling out and they assume it's just for cat videos, as I mentioned, and they start posting pictures of only their cats and their dogs, and some other executive comes on the platform and the first thing they see is that, they will shut it down or they will say, this thing is crap, I'm never going to support it. Yeah. So you have to be deliberate and strategic in how you're going to roll it out. Build your use cases. Involve risk and IT security. Make sure that they know how and what the rules of the road should be. People need guidance. Yeah, they need guidelines.
Yeah.
And I honestly think the boundaries and guidelines allow for creativity. They allow for people to feel safe in the environment, that it's something that's being supported and understood by the business, and they'll feel more willing, they'll be more willing to share in a community where it's a little bit more organized.
People don't get quarterly performance conversations on their Facebook and Twitter usage. It kind of helps with the viral growth because you don't have that fear that you might end up in a conversation about the boss, with your boss about doing something wrong. We're talking about bringing different ways of working into the organization and giving people new challenging things to do in the organizational context. You're actually pushing them out beyond the safe spaces of the way they're used to work. And so you need to support people in that change. And when you're planning for an adoption program, think about role modeling, champions, change, learning and development, if that's...
Yay!
Good work. But think about those things as you go, because that's how you help people accelerate that adoption journey. We might go to the next question.
Yeah, how you doing? So about a little over a year ago at my company, we decided to focus on Yammer as the employee engagement tool, partly because we have competing platforms. In addition to the challenges of showing the value of Yammer, we've had, and actually we've come a long way in the past year, but we found it very difficult, one, to measure engagement, and also to define engagement. So I think you guys so far have definitely given some really good examples about defining engagement. Mm-hmm. But when you put your report together about, you know, like, this is how Yammer is done in the past quarter or something like that. Right now we don't have any tools, any analytics tools. And I know that I think there are maybe are some features that are now available for Office 365 admins, which I have not seen yet.
Yeah.
One thing is I'm wondering if you could either compare that to maybe what you might have otherwise been paying for or are paying for, and also other examples about how you define engagement.
Okay, so.
Yeah, the out of the box is very rudimentary, so I know these guys have a lot more to say about some of your opportunities.
So out of the box, at the last Ignite in May 2015, Steve Wen and my colleague Tammy Young-Heck gave a great presentation about how EY measures success, because we don't have a third-party analytics tool either. So I will tweet out a link to that presentation. It's on Channel 9 from 2015. It'll answer a lot of how we do it out of the box.
Okay, I can talk. Yeah, Office 365 is starting to provide a few more analytics, but I can really, really show the value of my network using TireGraph, as I mentioned before. Because not only the unanswered thread things, but there's a whole measure of engagement score. There's something that shows me the whole health of my network overall. And I do focus on my external network, but it works for your employee network as well. You can see file views. You can see when people are liking things, because there's something important to remember is that even you're going to have more lurkers than you're going to have conversationalists. It's just the way it is. And that's okay. If you ever hear of Stan Garfield, you can look him up on LinkedIn. He likes to say that lurkers are fine because as long as they're reading and learning and taking away something with them, then you've done your job. So, you know, the people that like things, and then you see just sharing. Like, there's one thing I love seeing is the photos. We don't do cat videos or photos or anything, but because we have a lot of traveling trainers back on our home network, they go around and they train all of our customers. One of them has started just sharing the views when he's not training, when he's out of his hotel or walking around the town, and it's breathtaking because he goes all over the country. And that's inspired other people to share the stuff that they're doing. And so we have a whole like crisis prevention institute. It's more truncated than that, but like life outside and in. Yep. And then I can track all those, and that is showing the soft side of our company. It's rounding out our employees. So you're not just seeing somebody, okay, that's the person who sits in that cube and does that job. You see who they really are, and you can actually measure that. And executives kind of like seeing that, because I think Simon had this in his earlier presentation, it was yesterday, about how you're kind of trying to sell it. It's a people tool, not technology. Yammer is just the shell around it. You're really seeing people at work.
I'll just add quickly a way of measurement that isn't in a report, maybe, is are people talking about what's happening on Yammer in other ways, in other channels, too? So what we've seen, we recently had a new building open, and we created a Yammer group for the project team to share ideas and for the employees moving into that building to give feedback and give whatever updates they wanted to give. But at the end, when we had a ribbon cutting, our CEO actually took a quote from one of the posts that someone put in that group saying how the building inspired them and they want to continue to work at the company, and read that out loud to the project team after the ribbon cutting. So the fact that our CEO is mentioning content that's on Yammer really mm-hmm. is a way of showing that it's working, or people even talking to each other, hey, did you see that on Yammer? Or so-and-so posted, did you see it yet? So that's one way of finding success that's not necessarily in a report.
Yeah.
Shoot, wait.
If I can add to that, yeah. I mean, my recommendation for people who don't invest in an analytics solution, and I'd recommend people do, but if you can't, have a plan. If you have a plan, you know what you're looking for in terms of engagement. Mm-hmm. Use YamWins, YamWorks, some kind mm-hmm. of topic. Encourage your users to identify those things. Find stories. When you find a story, you can track that to the business user who benefits mm-hmm. from that story, and you can get a really tight ROI conversation to put in front of a senior executive who's interested in it. If you can't do anything more than that, you've built yourself a good defense, a good argument about the value that Yammer's creating in your organization.
All right, sure. So the question is, are we using a third party, and if so, which one is it? And I'm not.
I'm a partner, so I work yeah. with all of them.
Well, I am,
and
I'm
using
Tigraph.
I'm going to go to the microphone at the front, just, and then I'll come back.
Sorry, Paul, I cut you. So this question is sort of more for Amy. Sorry, Amy. Amy, I'm from LibriZol, by the way, and we love her, and I miss her, and she's probably one of the people that I admire the most. No bias, of course. We at LibriZol, it's been a long journey, and I'm a witness. I can attest to the hard work that Amy did when she just worked with LibriZol on getting Yammer adopted. We are now at the place where we've transitioned to people are starting to get it. And this year, my focus was on structuring collaboration. So we had something similar to what you mentioned, Amy, about your official groups and just kind of like that. So I guess my question is, would any of you recommend that as people start adopting Yammer and there's a bigger just focus for what they want to get out of the community, is it okay to start pushing maybe people to working more in public groups versus private groups? Mm. How do you manage that from a community standpoint? Bingo, by the way.
Okay, so at EY, we do push for our endorsed communities to be public. We have criteria for you to apply to become an endorsed group, and there are certain criteria you have to fulfill. It has to be global, it has to be large, it has to be strategic, it has to be public. We do have a couple of endorsed groups that are private, and I can't talk about them, but we but most of our groups are public because we believe very strongly in serendipitous discovery and cross-sharing of knowledge across service lines, across markets, across industries. And you can't do that as often in a public in a private group. However, on our tactical group side, where there's a project team working on something and they don't really need the rest of the world to know what they're working on, or they are just starting, maybe they're a smaller team and they're just starting to form their team. They're like maybe a tiny group of people that doesn't know each other very well. Maybe they don't want to share the pictures of their kids and their cats and their life story in a public space. Well, then fine. You know, we can't control whether or not you create a public or private group. So go ahead, create a private group, work out loud in your private group and build your community that way. But for we see a lot of strategic value in making our endorse groups. Awesome. Another bingo. We see a lot of strategic value in making the groups public. Again, for that serendipitous discovery. You never know who can learn from what you're sharing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so the question was, how do we define an endorsed group? And what does that give somebody? Okay. So Yammer doesn't allow for this as out, you know, it's not something that they provide. You click endorsed. It's the same idea as a verified account on Twitter, right? So this is the endorsed or verified group for advisory. This is the endorsed group for audit. This is the endorsed group for, you know, whatever it is. We've got 80 of them. And again, we have criteria that you have to fulfill in order to be that. It has to have leadership engagement and sponsorship. It has to have a dedicated set of community managers who are trained. And then it has to be global and strategically aligned and blah, blah, blah. So they fill in that. And if it's approved by the committee of people who approve these things, that group then gets a quarterly scorecard. And we measure 6, which is in the presentation that Tammy and Steve did in 2015, 6 things that we measure around community management, diversity of participation, business value. We've got 6 criteria that we measure, and so they get that as part of their being, and their icon changes. You're right. And Simon, yes, we have a little icon, the group icon. We give them a little check endorsed, you know, that is official. Simon Denton does that too with Mott MacDonald. So if you catch him at the conference, you know, check that out. He has a really good way of actually adding people to those verified, I don't know what they call them there, endorsed groups or something, based on their people profile. When they fill in certain things in their people profile, they do this magic thing behind the scenes that will add them automatically to the endorsed Yammer groups for that topic or that business line. So I think that's amazing. Well, if you run into Simon Denton, ask him about it.
One quick point?
One quick thing. If you've seen imbalance of private groups, like there's more of them than public, and you look at them and they really shouldn't be private in your opinion, talk to the group admins, talk to the departments behind it. You can point to successful public groups. And again, the point about you never know who knows, something that could help. Say, look at all this collaboration going over here. Wouldn't that be great to be in this group that you closed off? You know, you use diplomatic language, of course, but you might be able to turn some of them public.
Great. Yeah. So if we can take a question from the back. There's a lot of questions lined up, so I'm going to move on if I can.
Good day. Sorry. I think I'm one of the very poor Yammer users, and as a manager, I should be ashamed of myself, especially looking at Amy and Lily, who are the kind of the Yammer goddesses we have in our organization, have in Lubrizol. One thing I kind of understood from Yammer is that the initiative of Yammer was to bring an internal collaboration tool, like a Twitter or a Facebook for internal organizations, so to speak. And that was supposed to reduce the amount of thousands of emails and back and forths, conversations that go. And I've been struggling for the past couple of years, let's say, to motivate my team to go more towards a Yammer conversation and a collaboration within our Yammer group, which is not private. It's a public group for our operations team. But they kind of tend to stick to still on to that old email, reply to all, blah, 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 sending out to 25 people, but 24 of them probably hate each other for having that email because they've got nothing to do with it. So how do I really motivate them? I heard the words YAM wins and things like that. How do I motivate my team to divert them more towards from the traditional, hey, I've got my mailbox.
Do you manage these users?
Yes.
Well,
lead by example.
You do it. Go back to my initial statement.
I know. Well, when you stop being a poor Yammer user, you will.
If you say I'm not going to reply to your emails, I'm only going to reply to Yammer posts, and they want your attention as the boss. I would hope they would.
You got to stick to it. It's not easy, but
model the way.
Let me answer that. Right? I'm like, I share the same thing until a few months ago. And I'm the service owner of Yammer in our company, and I support Lonnie, our business owner. So we had the same problem, right? I'm like, I had different teams under me and who are very conservative. They don't want to share. They're a combination of people, outspoken, and they want to keep it within themselves. And I'm intermediate, though I support the service. I'm kind of intermediate. What I did is my staff meetings, my projects, I started putting on Yammer private group so that when people who wants to be within the boundaries, they can still share. And that's how I started pushing myself, communicating Yammer with the team and any ideas, right? One of the things that motivates people is likes. Right? I mean, Lonnie does a great job, and whenever people post something, nobody reads it. They'll read it, nobody likes it. Lonnie goes there and likes it. That's kind of motivation. And I get as well from her.
That's good.
Yeah. So that is something as a people's manager or team collaboration. I mean, we encourage people to post their ideas. And when they post there, we appreciate by like responding it. So that's how I do. And I felt that there was a lot of success in improving Yammer adoption within my team, who actually manages Yammer part of
So I think there's a great example there of, you know, taking a team, taking a part of that team process, starting them in a safe environment, which might feel like a private group, role modeling, endorsing that behavior, and then migrating it on. So we'll take the next
question. Can I just mention that was like a beautiful real live example of Yammer?
Yes.
Response without at mention. Like, conversation is going on, the experts are answering it, but then somebody pops in that you don't even know, and they have this great answer. And like, that is what Yammer Business Value is. Like, that is where you get it. You can't get that in email. I would have to know who you are to add you to that conversation. So beautiful.
Wait, do you realize that's an example of synergy?
Yeah. Very good. Can we have our next question, please?
Hi, this is a question on external networks.
Hey.
So how do you engage your customers, in collaboration and in social? You know, do you use a combination of Yammer and SharePoint or Office 365, SharePoint Online? Or, you know, how do you, what is the ideal package? Right now, Microsoft is also introducing Yammer-based Office 365 groups. So have you thought about, leveraging that or in those areas?
The first easy answer to that is external networks, they won't see the Office 365 part at all. And these are everybody with any kind of email can join, and these are people who do not have our company domain. So also they can't flow backward into our home network, but we can easily lurk over there and peek and see what they're talking about. So that part we don't have to worry about at all. And for collaboration, we did start out very cautiously and waiting, and we had invited select groups of our customers in to try to start filling it out and get some feedback from them. And we used to be in there a lot more as staff answering their questions. But then over time, as more people have come in, we've been able to pull back. We actually have a external network policy we've written up, which is kind of constantly in flux, but basic rules are we wait 48 hours before we decide to jump in. If something really needs a question. Of course, there's caveats if they're actually asking us, like, what do you at CPI think? Then we'll jump in, and there's a few other things. But basically, we built it for them to use, and they have been talking amongst themselves. Every question that gets posted has an answer. It's really amazing. But it's also because the way we've been rolling out our strategies, it's very opt-in. We invite them to it. We say, hey, there's this place, check out. Here's how you sign up. And if they don't, we're not going to force them. Because all of them. And it's pretty good because we do have a few different training products, but it all kind of rolls up to the same philosophy and mission that we have. And what they're finding is, what we're finding is, a lot of them don't even self-identify as saying, hi, I'm a trainer in X, I have this question. They just say, I have a problem, there's a challenging kid in my class. How do I, you know, help them with this? And people just from, you can tell people from all over in different disciplines and industries are answering. And I let them create their own groups and stuff. They actually create public groups. There's maybe only just a couple of private groups, which is pretty cool. So they can dip in anywhere, yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm an IT admin at a college, a state college, and were you starting to use Yammer to try to engage with our students? Mm. So the students have a tenant,
nice.
We have a tenant. We've built an external network to try to engage with them in their academic communities. But one of the concerns that some of our executives have is around control of that environment. I know. So that, you know, we want to drive them to specific groups that are for their communities, whether it's IT or marketing or public safety. And we don't necessarily want them to create groups, and I know that that's not possible in Yammer, but we want to... How can we continue to have that conversation around ways to sort of drive them to the correct groups, discourage them from, maybe not discourage them from creating groups, but use the groups correctly and drive them into those ones that we want them to be part of?
Well, I realize it's hard to change executive minds, but I mean, Yammer really does kind of work best when you let the users kind of form their own space and feel comfortable. But if you really do want to drive them to a few key groups and hope that they won't create their own offshoot groups, you got to get in there and just keep reinforcing, saying, hey, this should be in this group. We did learn this week that moving posts is coming, so you'll be able to outright move things instead of just sharing. But yeah, it's going to take more engagement and support.
Do you have a community manager assigned to the network or champions?
Not really.
Okay, get those.
It's just starting out. We're, okay, you know, we're just trying to use the resources that we have now. We have advisors, and we're talking about having them sort of take ownership of the groups that they're advising mm-hmm. for. If you're already an advisor in IT, you'd be sort of owning it. But they already have so many other things that they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That it's hard to get them to, you know, get on board with that because it's mm-hmm. another thing that they have to do.
Yeah.
If I
could add a story to take back to your executives,
yes.
I'm standing on stage here as someone who started his career in the law, worked in marketing, and now helps organizations with technology adoption. There's no reason you should be streaming students to one stream because the future of work is going to change their roles radically, and they're going to do over a lifetime so many things. So give them the opportunity to leap into different pools, explore, audit subjects, as they say. Give them that opportunity. And if you've got smart, intelligent people, give them good guidance and great support, they'll find their way to the right place.
Yep.
And go watch Melanie's presentation from 2014. Because she talks about, think about writing the word control on a piece of paper, crumpling it up, and throwing it in the trash every day.
I know.
Earlier, Amy, you mentioned integrating Yammer into the processes and rollouts of knowledge management tools. What I'm curious about is how much investment different organizations are making into actual integration development with other tools as opposed to just embedding of a Yammer feed. I mean, I talk to a lot of people and they're like, oh, we use Yammer in CRM. What does that mean? Oh, we embedded the feed out there to a group. Or groups now has a Yammer feed. Yeah, but is it really integrated? Are we pulling in LOB data? Are we passing it back and forth? And I'm just curious as your experiences in doing development and programming around this, that similar to the apps that you can get in the store, like Office Vibe and Badgeville and things like that enhance Yammer, but enhance it in such a way that it's integrating with your LOB systems or the processes inside your organization.
Okay, so I'm not technical. At all. I know it says MVP on my sleeve, but I'm not technical. We really do use the embed a lot. We have embedded Yammer into the home page of our intranet. It gets embedded onto our, we're rolling out a whole new set of sites to our users, and we're embedding their community into that site. We use the embed quite a bit. There are a lot of other things that I know programmers could do. I'm not one of them, but it works pretty well for us using the embed.
Is anybody else doing anything around that, development-wise, or know of
anything? I kind of feel like the trajectory of the way Microsoft is rolling out these different workloads is that integration really is not the way that they're approaching it. Because you go to Office 365, you have the app launcher, and you hit Planner, and boom, new window. Groups, new window. OneDrive, you know, and Yammer's just another one of those. It's a tool in the, you know, in your tool belt, but it's not, you're not trying to like have the functionality overlap. I mean, I think with groups, it's really helpful that at least the membership is across these different workloads, but we haven't had a need or I think a strong desire to try to like really integrate other than maybe embedding in some key use cases.
And I mean, I've seen some organizations approach it. Often they've gone down the path of thinking that they need to control the process around Yammer. So they want to put a really tight integration around. Actually, that's rarely the way real collaboration works. It tends to be more open. There are some, if you're interested in it, there are some great partners who produce solutions for Yammer. So innovation process and other things available in that work with the APIs and actually put the work back into Yammer rather than dragging it away to another location. So that's one to think of. And I think we've got another suggestion.
Yep. So we integrate Yammer into our SharePoint, integrate our Yammer into our intranet site. And we have great thoughts of integrating into wherever we need collaboration, we want Yammer to be part of it so that people can collaborate. And the feed actually will be in Yammer, however it shows within the process, business process or a business application. So just to boost the collaboration within that process or business application. That's one. At the same time, Yammer also has APIs that you can integrate pretty much your program and API to feed to get the feed. So that integration is available within Yammer.
Yeah, the new web, the new web part in SharePoint, where you can do it as the entire group or just a specific thread, I think is actually could be very useful in a lot of cases.
Hey, can we have the next question?
You should use the microphone.
You need to use the microphone if you're going to.
Need a word for that.
At Capgemini, you know, we have used API, in its best form. So we have created a gamification application. Mm-hmm. Okay, using APIs, you more contribute on Yammer, more badges you get. And that's connected to reward and recognition. So Capgemini Netherlands, they have developed this application.
Right.
At Capgemini, we have a enterprise search. So you search from one platform, you get results from other global platforms. So we have integrated our enterprise search with Yammer, okay, nice. Using APIs. So we go into our KM platform, knowledge management. You search something, you get results, from that platform as well as from Yammer.
So there's pathway through the APIs.
So APIs, you can actually, just in short, APIs, you can make miracles if you want.
Great. Right. Thank you for your contribution. You. And can we have the next question?
Yeah, just a quick question. I'm part of a Canadian insurance company, so up north we move always a little bit slower. And because of our regulations, there you go. Yeah. So one of the big things that I was kind of wondering about is we're finally getting past our legal and our risk obligations to kind of start moving towards Yammer. But have any of you guys participated or run multilingual communities? Because we have a lot of obligations to communicate all messages or allow people to communicate in English and French. But I haven't found a way where this, or even heard of anybody else kind of talking about this type of subject. So I'm going to get the hell out of the way and move over. So.
Okay, first of all, I'm also Canadian. But I just became an American this year, so I'm kind of both. Anyway, Yammer has this beautiful translate feature. There's a little button that says translate, and it will translate your conversation into the language of the user, depending on their browser settings. So, and that's no longer a third party. It's all built into the Microsoft stack. So you can turn it on. You turn on the translate feature and it will translate for that user English to French, French to Chinese, French to Hindi. I mean, there's, I don't know, 10 or I think 28 or something. 22. See? I don't
we
know
still miss Steve Pirate, knows. Though.
Anyway, oh, so well. Yeah, it's a...
That's manual.
It's a machine translation, but it's pretty good. It's good enough. Right. Better than them taking that text and going to Google Translate right. and translating it.
Okay. Can we have a next question?
Yeah, I work for a Fortune 500 packaging company that manufactures packaging. We're rolling out Office 365 with 25,000 mailboxes. Originally, Yammer was in scope for our deployment. We're doing everything else, groups and OneNote and, you know, OneDrive, everything. But then the executives, they kind of go, they were using some other tool, CoolLeaf, I think is what it is, for this kind of stuff. Any tips for helping me convince them, sell them that the idea that Yammer should be put back in scope or that we should do it as a part two or, you know.
How much are you paying for that other tool?
Manufacturing companies?
Yeah.
I mean, cost would be a factor to choose Yammer, okay. right?
Yep.
And presumably the benefits yeah. of being in the suite, the leveraging things like groups, common identity.
Security. Definitely, yeah.
So the level of integration that you get offered with the Office 365 suite, the ease of use between different tools, the power of algorithms that we've heard over these days that, you know, Microsoft's building in. These are the rationales. So if you look at the roadmap that's been outlined for Yammer, you're seeing a focus of this tool on work. A lot of the other tools are chat, social communication, you know, social in the enterprise. They're not integrated into work the way you're seeing with Yammer and the Office 365 suite. And I think that becomes a key part of the rationale.
Yeah. Ignite.
Please, next question.
Hi. I'm just wondering if any of you have been challenged to come up with hard dollar ROI on Yammer. So things like reducing headcount or returning money to the organization, things like that. And that was a bingo.
Yep.
That was good. It was good.
We haven't.
No, I would reducing headcount rarely increases revenue, I found anyway. But
so I can't speak to reducing headcount.
No.
I'm just saying no to that. I don't know about that. But so one of the ways that we have tried to deliver on that ROI question is that Yammer Win tag that I was mentioning before. Every one of the people who is involved in a Yammer Win conversation gets a survey that they can fill out for us to help develop our success stories. So if they fill in the survey, which we know we don't get a big hit rate, but if you get 15 a quarter, it's great. And you then you follow up with those people if they've really answered some of the questions. And one of the questions is, did this result in a business outcome? Did you get the sale? Did you, whatever it was. And when that happens, we also follow up. And then we interview them. And then we write up a success story. And we capture that dollar value in a you know, ongoing analytic kind of dashboard that we provide to executives. So that's one way. But we don't measure all. There are probably a bazillion other things we could do to prove the value of Yammer, but that's one of the ways that we do it.
Yeah, we don't measure it for purposes of should we continue to have Yammer because it's part of the suite we're already paying for. But I think it's these kind of measurements will be very important for determining budget for an analytics solution or additional community management support and things like that.
So, I mean, I worked in a financial services organization. They love hard dollars, right? So the way I negotiated with our finance partners was I asked them, what multiple of the cost of Yammer do you want to see delivered on an annualized basis to satisfy you that at a minimum, we're hitting this minimum level of return? And then I just used Yamwins to produce anecdotes every year that showed we'd smashed through that threshold and that there was all this other stuff I hadn't measured. And if everything else is cream on top, then you guys are happy and keep renewing and keep going. And it's not about accountability in terms of measuring and understanding how you're tracking, to at least have some sense of what the dollar value is. And they're great stories to tell senior executives as well.
I'll just quickly add about productivity too. So we've had a lot of those stories where people have said, hey, I've saved X amount of time or hours by tracking down this person or looking for this presentation because I could post it on Yammer and someone got back to me within a minute versus trying to track down someone in email that I don't even know. So you can tie those productivity numbers to dollars as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can we have a next question?
Okay, this question is for people who have been using social tools for a long time. When Yammer is coming in, do you guys have any experience on moving the content of the previous social tool? Is there a challenge? Do you have any focus areas of that? And most importantly, we have tremendous amount of knowledge base created already in the previous tools. We don't want to lose them.
I could talk a lot about SharePoint migrations, but I can't talk about Yammer migrations.
So we had Jive, and we didn't port the content from Jive to Yammer. Oh, yeah. We had difficulties with that.
So there are some ways through partner solutions and other things that you can migrate content in. Think through with your users before you launch into that, because sometimes you're actually just migrating across legacy content that's no longer relevant. And importantly, what you're trying to migrate across is the community and the conversation. And if you get those two across, guess what? The latest and most greatest information will arrive in your community pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Did you want to add to that?
Great point. I was just going to say something very similar. There's a big company that we worked with that moved from one social tool to Yammer. And the thing that they focused most on was the community and understanding which groups were most active in the previous community and helping those people understand, all right, we're moving your cheese, we're moving your content, but here's where it's going to be and here's how to interact with it. And by focusing on the community and focusing on the people, they felt like they had their move was much smoother than just focusing on moving all the content and focusing on things that perhaps weren't as valuable.
So we've got time for two more questions. We'll hang around afterwards, so there's plenty of time to come up and interact. But if we can take the last two questions.
So I work for Canadian Airline, much like the Canada guy over here. So our company, we've got about 12,000 employees, thousands of contractors. We went to Yammer Freemium about 2 years ago, kind of started organically, got out there like a grass fire. Now we're moving to Office 365, so now we're sort of reining everything in, trying to make sense of all this stuff. So we've gone from some folks who have very little adoption to others who do a great job of it. There's lots of wins on the front line. We've got some really big champions out there. So they're chomping at the bit for things like analytics and trying to make sense of all this. So I'd like to come back to them and sort of give them a sense of how we can take what we have now and get that into a place where we can have it somewhat more organized as a bit of a rebrand. So we want to get more people back on Yammer. We really want to sort of, some people got over the fact that, hey, this isn't a Facebook. There's actual value here, but there's still lots of folks that feel that way. What's the best way to do that, to sort of give this rebrand, this relaunch, and add a refresh to that?
Well, definitely one part of what you do. What I do is I stay away from even calling it a social network because of the stigma around it. I try to use terms like professional development network or professional learning network. And I do that for the external network as well, because all of our customers, their bosses will say, why are you on the social network? Don't spend time on it when you should be working. So work that into your language when you do your rebrand. That's one step.
We're just going to add about 31 Days of Yammer, too, as a campaign to relaunch your network. So there's a lot of great resources in the tech community or in Fast Track, I'm sure, around how to have a campaign around doing something on Yammer every day for 30 days as well, to get people engaged and see the value and get them back into the groups and conversations that can help them get their work done. That's great way to get started again.
Highlighting those key communities or groups in your tenant would be another way to really highlight the really effective collaboration that's happening there, and give people a good first impression if they if they've never used it before, maybe coming back to it after a long time. Like, look at all the stuff that's going on.
It's good.
If you don't have a dedicated community manager, get one. If you can also include a collection of other people who can be community managers, co-community managers, or the managers of the biggest groups. Because at EY, we've got 140,000 people. We can't do it ourselves. We have a whole network of community managers that we reach out to, that we provide. I guess they're kind of a champion network, but we really call them community managers, and they manage the larger groups that we have, you know, the groups that are 5,000, 6,000, 12,000 people. So, community manager, if you don't have one, get one.
Yep.
And get a strategy together.
So being really clear about what you want them to use it for in your communication is important as well. So we'll take the last question.
Yes, this was another bingo item, onboarding. I was just curious if you guys do anything new for new employees onboarding. How do you get them actively engaged in Yammer from the get-go?
Well, I have it set with our HR department that each new employee sits with me for at least 15 minutes. I tell them about Yammer. I send them a Yammer scavenger hunt that's, you know, designed to get them online and just bopping around and doing things, upload a picture, post a quote, search for somebody. And then I just make sure to tell them, I said, you know, whatever department they're in, I have a use case for. But also just, you know, trying to make this is an easy place to get to. You don't have to use it. That's our policy, though. It might not work for your culture. You know, it takes away the pressure that here's this new thing. But I said, even just nosing around a bit, lurking, you get to know our culture that much faster. And that really helps. And people, I have all employees online, basically. So it's working.
Yes. So we work with our HR department as well. When someone comes in, they get a one-page checklist. So we used to give out these big packets of paper, but we don't do that anymore. So we have one checklist that takes them to the intranet. And then part of that work and learning about the tools that they need to do as a new employee is getting added to a Yammer group as well for new employees. And then within their HR business partners are in there answering questions, or they're seeing conversations happening from someone that started last week. So they're getting to know people and also seeing and learning about the company as well. And HR is in there answering any tactical questions around logistics or what they need to do to set up their direct deposit or things like that.
So we're out of time, and we could continue this conversation for hours,
yeah,
and
we
in
could.
Fact, I can guarantee you with this panel that we will. The place this conversation will go on is the Microsoft tech community. This is a very passionate group of people about sharing and engaging and continuing to help others along their journeys, so please come and join us in the Microsoft tech community. We'll be around for a few minutes to take questions, so come up and ask. And the booth is available as well. We'll be all around the booth, the Yammer booth in the expo hall. So thank you, everyone, and please evaluate our session.
Thank you.
Thank you.